the Lord.
Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. This is Trinity Sunday, one of those odd Sundays that is dedicated to a theological concept, one upon which many a theologian has hung upon the cross and died. We've spent a lot of our theological and church history trying to figure out how to explain God, how to picture God. Artists, philosophers, theologians, lay people, church people are all swirling around trying to figure out a way to speak about God in a way that helps us understand God more deeply. And we always fail. There are not adequate words to describe what is unfathomable and yet so close. We thought we had it. We would call it Father, Son, and as I grew up, the Holy Ghost, which I always thought was hilarious. We decided that after Casper became a good cartoon, we would call it the Holy Spirit. And yet, as awareness about gender and family relationships and hurt began to take center stage within our consciousness, we also realized that even referring to God as Father triggered for some of us images that were not helpful. And so we came up with alternatives. Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, Sanctifier. All ways in which we try to come to understand or at least be able to talk about God in a way that is helpful. We seek understanding. It's in our nature. In our gospel lesson for this morning, Nicodemus comes to meet Jesus in the cover of night. I really, for most of my career, had thought about Nicodemus going to ask Jesus a question. And then Jim Cartwright pointed out in our Bible study that, in fact, poor Nicodemus never gets to ask a question. He shows up and Jesus starts talking. And the whole conversation suddenly gets derailed. Nicodemus comes in the midst of darkness and says, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God, because if you were not, you could not do all of these things. And Jesus says, no one can come to the kingdom of God without being born from above. It reminded me of one of my seminary professors who, no matter what the question was, somehow Shakespeare would be the answer to every question. Jesus, in a way, kind of derails Nicodemus, or maybe he doesn't. Nicodemus comes to Jesus under the cover of darkness. Often we seek the holy under the cover of whatever brings us safety and comfort. For Nicodemus, that is the darkness. And it is remarkable in a way that he even wants to know Jesus anew, despite all of the controversy that Jesus stirs up. The words that Jesus uses, which are at times so critical of the Pharisees, of whom the writer says Nicodemus belongs. And yet Nicodemus sees something, hears something, that draws him in the darkness to want to know and feel and experience more of what Jesus has to offer. whether he seeks it or not. Nicodemus encounters a new kind of understanding, or maybe a new kind of relationship with Jesus. And the telling of that story, so do we. We encounter this strange language of being born again, and being born of water, and being born of the Spirit. And again and again and again we go over it and try better to understand our relationship with God. That is both mystery and joy. If many a church person has died on the cross of trying to figure out the Trinity, even more have died trying to figure out whether or not there should be two baptisms or one. I will never forget, I've told you this story before, in the days at Calvary Chapel in Southern California, being asked in high school, "Are you born again? Are you saved?" And my reply was always the same: "I am saved." "Well, how do you know?" "Because I've been baptized." "Were you baptized in the Spirit?" Being a proud graduate of Lutheran confirmation, I had absolutely no idea what they were talking about. I had never heard those words. I just assumed the Spirit was there. Born in Christ. I mean, come on. I'd heard that hymn a million times. I was there to hear your born in cry. And I thought, how could you not have heard that? But what I came to know later is they wanted to know, had I entered into that kind of relationship with God? Had I come to that space to encounter the holy in the way that they encountered the holy? But I think for all of us, one of the things we've come to understand is that we encounter the holy, we encounter Christ in lots of different places and lots of different spaces. For some, we encounter the holy in the place we call church, where we worship. For others, it will be in the place where they encounter that mystery and holiness in nature, or in silence, or in community, or in a place by themselves in their room before the altar. But wherever we encounter the holy, God remains. For Nicodemus, he encountered the holy in the cover of darkness. For me, I wake up before the dawn. And in that not quite light, before the world is stirring, I can listen. And it is there for me that I think I encounter the holy the most. Wherever we encounter what is holy, the holy abides there waiting for us, not bound by church or park or community or building or choir. We sometimes find it at the edges, which is really interesting. We encounter the holy at the edges of our life when we are most in need, at the death of a loved one or the birth of a new one. In our sorrow, in our anxiety, and in our grief. And then we go to the places to find the holy. And the holy finds us there. We can't always give it a name. And yet it abides. Sometimes we locate the holy in those places forever. once when we were talking about this space, where none of you, by the way, are this morning, except for the production crew and a few guests, I talked about the kind of changes that were happening within the church, and that it might come a time when we are no longer attached to the building. What would it look like, I said, if we joined with other congregations and thought about having one building where we would all gather at different times? Boy, was that a mistake. Because I had underestimated that for that person, God was here and always had been and always will be and occasionally takes a side trip over to the Presbyterians. But God is here. We locate the holy where we need the holy to be, but we forget that the holy is not bound there. The holy is not bound there, but may bind herself to us there. And there is a difference. When Nicodemus encounters Jesus in that place in the dark, the holy binds herself to Nicodemus. He is changed, and so are we. He finds a home not in the darkness, but in the breath of a spirit that breathes into him in Jesus as he hears the words, "Be born anew and follow me." And so though we encounter the holy at the edges of our life in those moments of great stress and joy and hope, I wonder what it would look like to encounter that breath, that spirit, that ruach, in the middle parts, in the normal parts, in the daily parts of our lives. As many of you know, I have sleep apnea, so breath is of a special thing to me because I keep quit breathing in the middle of the night. The other day, Jeannie and I spent some time together at a hotel and our air conditioner quit working and the maintenance guy came. And he spotted my CPAP machine and he says, "How's that working for you? What's it like for you?" He had just been diagnosed and just gotten his first machine. And I said, "Well, I've been doing this for 25 years. And I can tell you that without it, I cannot live. I would be dead by now." As I thought about that long, by the way, CPAP evangelists like me can go on for 25 minutes about it. After that long conversation, I got to think about that same sort of relationship that I have with the Holy Spirit and with God that each of us is called into. Not just at the edges of our life, but in the middle of our, not just at the bookends of our life, but in the middle and at the core of who we are. We cannot live without breath. And that God binds God's self to us, not only at the edges and in the places of our choosing, but in the very sense of being alive at all. God calls, sends, comforts, cajoles, irritates, drives, and brings us wonder, transforms, and challenges us, not only as the church and as a community, but as people. Honestly, that John 3:16, which sort of ends this story about Nicodemus, I wish I wish that it had just said, "For God so loves the world, dot, dot, dot." God loves the world so much that God calls us. God loves the world so much that God finds us in the places where we encounter God in twilight and in light and in the depth of darkness, and calls us God's own. That's how much God loves us. That day Nicodemus sought Jesus under the cover of darkness and never got to ask his question. And yet he found his answer. Jesus. Amen. Our worship continues with the hymn of the day, which is "Come Join the Dance of the Trinity."